The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
In a world where good news is hard to find, WAVA and One Heart DC present Good News for the City. We're here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what His body, the church, is doing to spread this good news in the Washington, D.C. metro area, including Northern Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. As Jesus said in John 17, "Father, that they may be one, just as we are one." Welcome to Good News for the City.
The gospel that makes a way.
Greetings, folks, and welcome to Good News for the City. My name is Dennis Williams. I'm Director of Ministry Relations for WAVA Radio right here in Washington, D.C. And you know it, Good News for the City is the radio broadcast ministry partnership between WAVA and One Heart, D.C. right here on Life-Changing Talk Radio, 105.1 FM, WAVA. Well, here's what I think. It seems to me that everywhere we look, around the next corner, in the next boy or girl genius's mind, there's a new piece of technology that I don't understand. I'm not terrible, but, you know, it comes fast and furious. Some new gadget that can make our lives better and easier, at least if you know how to use it. As a matter of fact, I'm certain that many of you out there listening to us right now are employed by the high-tech industry or own your own high-tech businesses. So if that is true of you, we are here today to talk about a great organization that cares not only about your business and your career success, but get this novel idea, your spiritual growth in Jesus Christ. I think that's a pretty cool thing. So we're going to talk about that spiritual health and their mission of caring for your spiritual life first. What a novel approach. And of course, to get us started and to introduce our guest for the day, I want to welcome my good friend and my buddy who is the senior pastor of Christian Fellowship Church in Ashburn, Virginia. You know him, Brian Bales. God bless you, my brother. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Dennis. It just seems like everywhere we look throughout the Washington metro area, we're saturated with technology, and especially the development in this area, whether you're in Maryland or you're downtown in D.C. or you get in the Tysons Corridor, you come out a little farther west to Fairfax Loudoun, you get the Tech Corridor right there in 28. And that's before whether or not Amazon HQ2 lands here. Who knows what's going to happen if that happens. But technology is everywhere, and tech workers are everywhere. I'm a pastor. You already made that point clear. But I'm just thinking of my specific neighbors around me, my four closest neighbors, every single one of them work in technology. Wow. In fact, one of the things that I do when I meet someone at Christian Fellowship Church for the first time, they walk in, I say, "What led you here?" And they said, "Move." And my first question after that is, "Okay, what moved you? Government, IT, or both?" and usually it's some version of that. And my follow-up question is, "Can you talk about your job or not talk about your job, whether or not you've got a security clearance or not?" Technology is everywhere. Yeah. And it's also a mission field in that way. And so I'm excited. We've got Carl Grant here. Carl is the chairman and president of an organization called the High Tech Prayer Breakfast here in the D.C. metro area. If you want to know more information about it, we're going to certainly talk about it over the next few minutes. But I know many of you, because you're tech savvy right now, are multitasking. We're assuming you're doing that if you're not driving your car. Yeah. But if you're at home or you're listening on a podcast, just look it up right now while you're listening to the show. It's hightechprayerbreakfast.org. But we are glad to have Carl in studio with us today. Carl, thanks for coming. And
I'm
thanks
happy to be here.
Thanks for sharing
me
a little bit about the High Tech Breakfast. Now, for those who aren't aware of the High Tech Prayer Breakfast, I become aware over the last 5-6 years by mutual friends that I've discovered that we have, but we've never met before. Tell us what this organization is. It's just not a breakfast once a year. There's more about it. And tell us kind of how it started and it's a little bit of history if I can.
Sure. Well, Brian, Dennis, this is a workplace ministry. It's a parachurch ministry. I grew up not going to church. I grew up an atheist for 24 years. And so to get me to come into a church to hear about Jesus really wasn't going to happen.
Sure.
I eventually got into a church, but I had to hear about it outside of a church. And so we're getting people into an environment where they're comfortable. It's just like any other technology event that you might go to, an award ceremony or an NVTC type of event. And people see people they know, but the topic is Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
And the prayer,
a lot of folks like Carl, by the way.
Sure.
Who came to Christ, you know, who didn't want to darken the doors of a church. And so, yeah.
And we talk about this all the time here at Christian Fellowship. There's lots of reasons sometimes that occurs. They walk in and they feel like, hey, I don't fit. Or they've walked into a church before and a church has made them feel like they don't fit.
Yes.
Right? We sometimes, as Christ followers, don't represent Christ super well. But thank goodness that the good news is even greater than the followers of the good news many times. Amen. That overcomes the faults that we have and the mistakes that we make. But what I do like about the prayer breakfast is it's sort of an entryway that you can come and you don't have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can learn about a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you can also find connections with other people who may be walking the same life, right?
Well, the challenge is after doing this, this is our 17th year doing
this.
Is that so many of the people now know Jesus that we want them to go out and find people who don't. When people come up to me and tell me I'm coming to the prayer breakfast this year, you're not really the target audience. You know?
Yeah, you're like, who are you bringing?
Host a table and invite your heathen friends, right?
Right.
We want people to come in who might not have come to church. You know, this is not a Sunday school gathering, all right?
Sure.
And so we want folks to come in and feel comfortable. We attract people of all faiths, of all backgrounds. And some people, this is the most spiritual thing they do every year, of all different faiths and persuasions. And we welcome that. And we try not to spook people away before the event by making it sound like some spooky spiritual thing that they're coming to. This is a technology event, and they're going to come and they're going to hear some really good speakers, and they're going to also learn about Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Now, we talked about this idea that many people wouldn't darken the door of coming in a church building. I always want to make sure that we separate church and church building, because as we say, church is a people, not a building. But we also understand in culture, sometimes that's not separated too well. So they're not going to come into the building. So the reality is the church has to go to them, whether it's through something like a high-tech breakfast or that sort of thing. How did this sort of organization and idea kind of bubble up and start? Maybe it was that idea, maybe it was greater things.
Well, this was a calling. This was a calling. I didn't set out to do this. I was involved with a small startup company that had a flailing office down in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 2002. And I was sent down to Atlanta to figure out what we needed to do down there. And I met with a friend of mine that I used to work with at PricewaterhouseCoopers previously. His name was Ricky. And I said, Ricky, what do we need to be doing in Atlanta? And he said, he surprised me with this answer. He said, well, everybody who's somebody goes to the high-tech prayer breakfast. I'm like, what is that? You know, can you even do that? You're combining prayer and work. But it intrigued me. And so I came back home with this tugging at my heart that, wow, we need something like that. And so I didn't really know what to do with that. And I had never been to the breakfast. And I started to try to do something in the flesh. I started reaching out to my friends. I stood up a website. I sent some emails, and nothing happened. And have you guys done the study, Experiencing God?
Yeah, Blackaby. Join where God's already working, I guess, is one of the big things he says.
So I was in the middle of doing this study, and it hit me over the head like a bolt of lightning. And it said, look and see where God's at work and join him.
Sure.
And so then my next trip to Atlanta was, unfortunately, to close that office in Atlanta, but it was also the day of the high-tech prayer breakfast. And I went in there, and this had been going on for 10 years in Atlanta. There were 2,000 people in a room.
Wow.
And this guy named Gary Dacian, he was with Cisco Systems at the time. He gave this apologetic message that just blew my socks off. You could have heard a pin drop in that room. And it was such a powerful presentation of the gospel. And you know what I decided at that moment? I'm never doing this.
Yeah.
I am never. This is too far out there. And now everybody's going to know, you know, that I'm a Christian and I'm going to have to be nice to everybody for the rest of my life in the business community. And I don't know that I can do this. So I came back and I said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who might be listening and aren't familiar with the term apologetic message, we're not apologizing for what it is. But the reality of it is it's a defense. It is why we believe what we believe, why it would be of value for someone who's in a high tech community. Many of them, from an earthly standpoint, very successful.
Right.
Why do I need one more thing? Why would I need prayer? Why would I need Jesus when it seems at some level my life might be going fairly well?
But he was giving mathematical equations proving that the universe was created. I mean, I was blown away by
it. Yeah, you stopped me at math, but I think, exactly. So,
but let me tell you the second half of it.
Yeah.
Right? So I get back to my office and I'm sitting there, and I had forgotten about this. And a buddy of mine named Randy, who I had been working with at two companies, he came behind my desk, and I was sitting down on my chair, and he got in my face and he said, "God called you to do this, and you need to do this." And at that point, I felt like I had been smoked out. And yeah. I said, you know, Randy, you're right.
Yeah.
I do. And so I think I sent an email down to the guy who founded the prayer breakfast down in Atlanta. And I said, you know, well, I don't remember what I said. This was 17 years ago, but I said something, or 18 years ago. And he said, you know what he did? He sent me a book. Have you heard of the book called The Prayer of Jabez?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I had never heard of Jabez, and I didn't know why he was sending me this book, but I read the book. It wasn't a big book. And so Jabez, who's mentioned once in the Bible, prays that God would expand his territory.
Yes.
And so I didn't know the point of this, so I sent him an email back. And I said, well, I read your book, and if you guys are praying this, I'm up here and you're down there. Just maybe I'm an answer to your prayer. And I guess that's exactly what they wanted to hear. Mm. And they had been praying for 10 years that God would expand their territory.
Wow.
In fact, they had this book. It was the size of an old phone book that they had compiled on how to do a prayer breakfast. And his name is Bill Leonard. He was the founder of the prayer breakfast down in Atlanta. He got on an airplane, told me what to do. I was scared to death. And we gathered a small group of people. And he came out and he showed us some videos and he gave us a speech and he handed us the book. And I'm looking around at this group of people, and I said, if this is going to happen, it's not going to be me. Mm. I don't know how to get that many people in a room. And so at that point, people started to give their input, and one of the fellows that was there, this is a pattern, he said, we need to meet monthly. And then he moved to New York, and we never saw him again. But we started meeting monthly, and we started praying. And then a woman who came to one meeting and never came to another meeting said, we need Bibles because people are going to come to this event and they don't have Bibles. So we prayed for Bibles. And two meetings later, we had 500 Bibles.
Hmm.
So this is how this organization started. It started by a group of people getting together and praying, not knowing what we were doing, and watching God answer prayers. And it was unbelievable. The next thing we needed was table hosts.
Yeah. And
where
it goes from there.
A table host?
Yeah.
I don't know. So we prayed, and they would just show up. I'd be at Starbucks, and a business person would say, I've heard about this thing you're doing, and I want to host a table. I'm like, how did you hear about this?
Yeah.
That's how I got started.
That's amazing. A mentor of mine once told me that when we tell God that he has the wrong number, he often calls back from a different phone saying, it's still me. Still got the message for you, and I'm going to keep given someone else into your life to remind you of my call. And eventually it sounds like when you say, okay, God, I'm in, that God continues to bless and God continues to grow something as he wants to grow. Again, growth is a very, I should say, different term. Sometimes we think of growth in numbers. Sometimes we think growth differently. Another mentor of mine often says growth matters, whether it's an oak tree or a weed. Don't be confused by speed. Be confused by health in that way, or no health, rather. Don't be confused
Indeed.
By that.
Yes.
But over the last 17 years, you've been doing this. What are some of the unique needs that you've discovered in the life of the people who come? And when they come, how are those connections made and some of those needs spoken to?
Well, what I found is that everybody, no matter what background you come from, what religious background or non-religious background in my case you come from, we all need Jesus.
Mm.
And so people come with this yearning for something that they know that they need, but they don't really know what it is, and they find it when they come to the breakfast. That's the beautiful thing. And you talked about growth. The funny thing is we grew from 300 the first year to 600, maybe 650, and then we've maxed out the ballrooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
The local ballrooms. And so, you know, I'm the guy of little faith, right? So I wake up in the morning and I do the Bible study with my wife, and every morning she prays that God would grow the prayer breakfast. And every morning I say to her, I say, honey, why are you praying that God would grow this thing? We don't have any more room. And what's funny about that is you know, the room hasn't gotten any bigger, but God has expanded it. He's expanded it with a new breakfast in D.C. that the young millennials are putting together, which is just outstanding. He's expanded it by bringing a real estate prayer breakfast, which is a separate entity, and it's been a thing going for years. He's expanded it to Texas. He's expanded it to the RSA conference. That's a security conference. And that was out in San Francisco that one of our board members went and did and used our platform to do. And he continues to expand it in ways that go outside of the walls of that Ritz-Carlton ballroom. He's expanding it today on this radio show. As a matter of fact,
it's amazing again how we have plans, but God says, "Yeah, those are good plans." But I have something even different. You know, what we maybe got a ballroom that holds 5,000 people, but maybe because the ballroom didn't hold 5,000 people, it was able to expand in a way that otherwise we wouldn't have thought of. That even in lack of better terms, limitations that God may be putting in there, it's not a limit. It's actually expanding in ways that maybe we couldn't see in that way. Now, for you, as you have seen people come into this over time, and you've watched the high-tech prayer event grow, and obviously you've talked about how it's developed other events, both with millennials and real estate and security and things like that. How have you seen, one of the things we like to ask at this show is, how have you seen this specifically maybe make difference in an individual or someone else's life that before walked in, maybe like you, maybe you're the best person to ask how it's made a difference in your life, but even someone else?
Well, so what's happened over the past 17 years is these conversations used to be somewhat taboo in the business community. You didn't sit down over a business lunch and talk about Jesus over the business lunch. It just wasn't something that was done, just like you don't talk about politics in a business lunch. But what's happened over the past 17 years is that so many people have come to this breakfast, and so many people identify other people that have been at the breakfast that they realize that this is a safe space. We can talk about this.
Cool.
And so
that's
I will sit down with you know, a partner in an accounting firm thinking that we're going to be talking about referring clients to one another or some business related matter. And he comes to talk to me about very personal matters about the anger management class that he joined at his church. And he started going to church, and wow, I'm like, you know, and all of this type of activity has stemmed from coming to this breakfast and these people realizing they have this need in their life, and they're getting together in small groups, joining churches. In fact, we've had a Bible study called the Working Women's Bible Study that was started out of the prayer breakfast, and it's expanded. They have several locations now. I haven't been to them because I'm not a woman, but
you are not?
I'm not. Sorry.
Man, he fooled us the whole time, Brian. What's up?
Anyways.
He's much better looking than what now people are envisioning.
Joke, but I see them. I've seen them meet in our offices, and I'm just so impressed to see
That's
these women
cool.
coming
Very
together
cool.
over lunch Praise to study God. The Bible together, and it's those types of things that just warm my heart, knowing that I had a small part to play in that.
Praise God.
And so did Randy for smoking me out of the back of my desk there when I had chickened out to do this.
Yeah, and how have you seen that as we bring, and again, there's no such thing as secular sacred for those who follow Jesus Christ. Our ministry is a calling, and I've said this before on the show, I've said it from the pulpit before, I am no more a minister of the gospel than anyone else is. I'm just following my calling out. You're following your calling out, Dennis, by being director of ministry relations and many other things there at Wave. Carl, you're following your ministry out by the work you do on the side, as well as that's not shy your main job, but also being chairman of the High Tech Prayer Breakfast. That is your calling. You're equally a minister of the gospel. As you've been doing that, how have you seen people begin to sort of break down those barriers between this is, you've already mentioned a little bit, we could actually talk about it, but this is my work life and this is my spiritual life, but not just in a breakfast, but how it's guided them and directed them and how they even do life, maybe at their business as an employee, as an employer, whatever it might be.
Well, I'll tell you how first it's affected me. When I was a cutthroat, hard charging, sharp elbows guy, when I was going to get my MBA, and that's when I came to Christ, the second year of my MBA program. And then I started reading the Bible for the first time. And Jesus said things like, "He who wishes to be first must be last and servant of all." I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's not usually in that's not usually in the MBA curriculum.
No, we were reading Power, Persuasion, and Ethics and you know, Attila the Hun and stuff like that. it was a whole different type
and
of
And he shaved
study.
Your elbows, didn't he?
Well, he did. And then
called sanctification, I think.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, everything I ever thought was wrong. And so I had to figure out how to put my faith into practice in the business community. And you know what? This stuff really works. When I go and I meet with somebody, I'm not trying to extract from them everything I can get out of them. I'm trying to do for them as I would want them to do for me. And that works. And you know what? I'm in the business development field. I have more business coming my way than I know what to do with because I go out and I do the things that I read Jesus taught in the Bible.
And strangely enough, the creator of us knows best how we should work.
Amen.
Right? And then the
Amen.
Parable of the talents again plays out whom God entrusts and that we don't bury those talents, but we use them and we invest them. What happens at the end of the parable of talents? The guy who had five was given more, not because they were better or that sort of stuff, but they could be entrusted with what they're given. Now, the high-tech prayer breakfast, I know some people have already been looking this up. They're excited. They're like, it's December 5th, but then they've already noticed it's sold out. So like, why are we on the radio talking about something that's sold out if I can't get there? But the truth is, it's not just a prayer breakfast.
At the time of this recording, we have a half a table left.
You have half a table left.
So I think one of your guys doing the recording back here.
Whether it's Saturday or Sunday of this week, the 10th or the 11th, you got about a half a table left. But there may be a chance that people aren't getting this. But it's more than just a prayer breakfast. If they don't hit the prayer breakfast, that doesn't mean that they can't do some other things. Talk about some of those follow-up meetings and even Bible studies that happen throughout the year.
Well, yeah, if you get plugged in and you want to get plugged into the organization, we meet throughout the year. And I'd encourage you to look at the website, hightechprayerbreakfast.org, and see if you know one of the table hosts and shoot them an email, call them up and see if they have an open seat at the table. We have been able to accommodate everybody who wants to come to this breakfast to be able to come to this breakfast. So I hope this isn't the first year that we, you know, have to turn people away. But you know, so come to the breakfast. And if you don't get to come to the breakfast, we'll have at least one of the two speakers on the website afterwards so you can hear the message. But you can get involved with the organization, and we have planning meetings. We have host committee meetings. Get involved with next year. And I tell you what, the people that I've gotten to know as part of this organization have become some of my best friends and some of my best business contacts.
Yeah. Now, these follow-up meetings and some of the Bible studies that happen throughout the year, is that something organically that happens from the people, or is this something that the high-tech prayer breakfast at least tries to, you know, put a little bit of help to make that happen?
Look, we've tried to stay clear to our calling. We've been called to put on a breakfast and to put out the gospel. These things have happened organically.
Okay.
You know, we try to encourage them and introduce people and things like that. But we've been asked to do a lot of things over the years, feed the poor and so forth. There's a lot of good organizations that do that. Mm-hmm. What we do is we put on an annual breakfast that is really good. And we get 800 people in that room and the gospel goes out.
Yeah. And so if you're listening to this, and I love what you said there, Carl, you see one of the table hosts, even if you can't get in, but you know a table host, reach out to them, connect to them in some ways, or in some ways to send out a high-tech breakfast email to them right at, I'm sure there's an info at hightechbreakfast.org.
Absolutely. Reach out on the website or through social media. We have a LinkedIn page and a Facebook page.
Yeah, exactly. Because it wouldn't make sense to be called the high-tech prayer breakfast and not have a way high-tech to connect. That would be kind of odd.
It'd be odd, wouldn't it?
That would be odd. Yeah. It'd kind of work at that.
Yeah.
Well, as we close, just if you would, share maybe a story or just something you feel like you would not want someone who was listening today on the podcast or live on the radio show, on their own radio, rather, that you would want to make sure that they for sure grasped and didn't miss.
Well, you know, I had a friend come. He, from a Middle Eastern background, came as my guest. And he, the most amazing thing, after doing it for 10 years, I thought maybe we had seen everything. And he came and he developed a relationship with Jesus. And God started visiting him in dreams and visions and really took us to a whole other dimension. I knew that God did that to Old Testament prophets. I didn't know he still did it today.
Sure, yeah.
But that was a real blessing to us. And so, you know, come and get involved. Explore this faith that we're talking about, and something like that could happen to you as well.
Amen.
You know, God works in amazing ways. We talk about this, Dennis, you and I, off air, about in other countries and those sort of things, about how who don't have access to Scripture, don't have access even in some places to actually hearing the gospel via the internet because their particular country, you know, blocks that from occurring. They use their technology from other technology reaching out. But God has a way. Whether it's through dreams or whether it's so that he will do that. And God has a way, even a way of permeating even into a culture right here in Washington, D.C., that at first glance may seem like I've got everything. You know, we talked about at the beginning of the show, HQ2 moves into the area. It's bringing hundreds upon thousands of dollars that play in six figures. And we live in a world that thinks that the answer to most everything is if I just have enough money.
Yes.
Yet we discover that we can be unbelievably financially rich, but relationally and spiritually poor.
And if that happens, we're going to need to find a bigger ballroom.
That's right. We need to find some more. But we can be relationally and spiritually rich, and we can have a relationship with God through the gospel. And that is what matters most.
That's why we do what we do, brother, huh? Man, you guys heard it. It's exciting stuff. It's exciting stuff. So let me give you the website one more time before we close. HighTechPrayerBreakfast.org. That's HighTechPrayerBreakfast.org. Or you can go to GoodNewsForTheCity.com. You can go to WAVA.com. Put in the keyword good news. Look under our podcast page. If you're old school and you think old is cool, by the way, you can call me directly at WAVA 703-807-2266. 703-807-2266. Thank you so much. Thank you, Carl. God bless you, my brother. Thank you for being here. Folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week. And remember,
the gospel that makes a way.
Thank you for joining us and listening to Good News for the City, a gospel partnership between WAVA and One Heart DC. This is a partnership movement which celebrates and seeks to accelerate the move of the gospel into the Washington, D.C. metro area. It is our prayer that through this radio broadcast ministry of Good News for the City, we will see transformed lives and communities, and more people responding to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to help bring unity to Bible-believing people and churches in order to multiply our impact in our city, and we would love for you to join us. You can learn more at goodnewsforthecity.com. That's goodnewsforthecity.com. Or you can go to WAVA.com, keyword good news. Or you can call us at 703-807-2266. 703-807-2266. And remember, it's the gospel that makes a way.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.